Welcome to Season 3 of E-Commerce Fastlane, Episode 116.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by Grin, the number one influencer marketing software solution that's built for direct-to-consumer brands on Shopify. They're an all-in-one relationship management platform that helps you cultivate an authentic influencer network and a more valuable brand. From discovery and outreach to campaign management, Grin streamlines your workflow, removing the busy work while giving you the tools to help you grow and scale your program. From influencer recruitment, communication, product seeding, discount codes and affiliate links, including content and rights management, sales and tracking, and influencer payments, Grin helps you do it all. Smart brands truly understand that creating an emotional connection with your consumer drives up lifetime value, because what you end up doing is building a stronger brand. You create diehard fans who come back and purchase from you again and again. Get started today with Grin and make the most of your influencer marketing program with the all-in-one platform that's designed to help you build more authentic, brand-boosting relationships. So go check them out at grin.co. Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. New episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or Spotify. And you can also sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com to be notified when a new show is being released. Now, my guest in today's episode is Joe Lannan, who's the founder and CTO from Speed Booster. That's Speed and then B-O-O-S-T-R. And they have a ton of skills in the Shopify ecosystem. They offer Shopify optimization services, which typically starts with a brand doing a desktop and mobile speed test. And they also have this tool called the Shopify Analyzer. It's a web solution. Essentially, you put your website address in there, and it reveals a lot of things, a grading level from A through to F, and specific things that you can do. And it turns out that it identifies quite a few things in there, and you can DIY it yourself with their recommendation engine that you'll find. I'll make sure these links are in the show notes. Or you can also get their team under the hood to actually make the necessary corrections on your Shopify store. So there really is a human element. We spoke offline before recording. There really isn't a robust solution that through an app that can just directly make the changes to your website to make it faster. There really has to be a human being involved. There is some basic best practices and some of those things we'll talk about today. But at the end of the day, Joe and his team have really doubled down on this kind of optimization strategies for Shopify brands. So they also are a fully accredited Shopify partner, and they really will help both any brands looking for a dedicated app, being public or private. So let's jump in and learn more about the Speed Booster team. So hi, Joe. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hey, Steve. What's up? Thanks for having me, man.
My pleasure. So I mentioned a tiny bit at the top of the show, and you do quite a few different things. I use your Shopify Analyzer app every single week. It's always a conversation topic that I have with brands. If it's just the desktop version or if it's their mobile version, it's the first thing I kind of do. And it really opens up some conversation about app selection and working on their website and tweaking it for speed and things like that. But you do a lot more than just that. So let's talk about some of the problems that you're solving for Shopify store owners.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for using the app. That was the first performance analysis tool specifically for Shopify sites we built just a free tool for the Shopify community, and we use it in analyzing sites and optimize them as well. That's where we got started, with just performance optimization. I've been a web developer for almost 10 years, and that was kind of became my focus over the last few years. And so working on Shopify, and that just kind of brought us to build these solutions. So our main thing, yeah, is optimizing sites like that. And then being a team of developers, there's 8 of us, and we work specifically on Shopify. We also like building apps and really like building automated solutions too, just trying to figure out problems that stores have where we can automate tasks for them and free up their time and just make things easier for them. So that's pretty much our core set right there.
So let's talk about your journey. I'm always fascinated why people build what they build. I mean, a lot of times it's more than just, I want to make an income. I want to make money. I have some digital skills and I wouldn't mind exchanging some time for some money. That's a starting point for some brands, but I just would love to hear, I guess, maybe like the real story, so to speak, of what uniquely positions you and the founding team, I guess, to have the desire and the expertise to build Speed Booster, like the company and all the parts that encompasses it.
It's been a long journey to this point, but I'll try to condense here into the shortened version. So about 2010, I kind of been a tech guy. You know, I went to college for computer science, and you know, I was really looking for a way to work from home and travel the world. And so I was like, you know, I'm going to get back into web development. That was fun. So that started my journey as a developer. And eventually I discovered Shopify around 2013. After working on a few e-commerce stores before then, I just realized I saw just major potential. And it was really fun to work on. And I liked the ecosystem. I became a Shopify specific developer since that's 2013. Then in 2015, I've always been like a type of guy that I just love starting projects and stuff. I left the US and I started hanging out with digital nomad communities, and everybody's talking about different business models and how they're making money online and stuff. And so I was like, I started a product business and launched it on Shopify. So that was, 2015. So I started my own store. That it's still going strong, and it's been successful, and I have a team hired out for that, and it's been a good ride there. But I kind of switched focus on that, and then I really missed software development. I really wasn't creating products and running an e-commerce store. It really wasn't my forte. It was just kind of a fun side project that turned into a business, but I really just missed building apps and technical solutions. So I had an idea for a side project called Now Speed Booster, and this was in late 2017, so 3 years ago. And I was like, you know what? I've really developed this expertise. I'm working on Shopify and optimizing Shopify sites. And I just noticed it. A lot of clients would come to me asking for this. And I just noticed there's a lot of, it was an untapped niche being served. So I started that as a side project. I threw up the site, speedbooster.com. So it's basically just me getting proof of concept, and eventually started writing on the blog, started getting some traffic. And, you know, I've been a Shopify expert for a long time, so I was already getting leads just to start the business. And then I just ironed everything out and really kept dialing in the system and created SOPs for everything. And then in 2018, I started hiring developers. And 2019, last year, is when I guess we really got good traction, and I grew our team. We're up to 8 developers now, but I did a lot of hiring last year. And, you know, that's when we built the Shopify analyzer and kind of decided that, you know, we want to be leading the charge here and helping like figure out Shopify optimization and do all this content. That's kind of brings us to today, you know, other than a couple sprinkles of side projects and apps in between, you know, if you're a developer, you know, building a big web app is a lot of fun because it's, you know, typically months of work and, you know, it's a big project. And once you launch it, it's good to go and it's building features and it's fun helping people on all that stuff. So that kind of brings us to where we're at.
Beautiful. Well, I know, like I said, I mentioned top of show. Yeah, that Shopify analyzer, I'll put it, is analyze.speedbooster.com. But yeah, it's a really great little tool. I like the fact that it allows both for desktop and mobile analysis and can really open up some dialogue about, well, what sort of things should I be working on that could affect the speed of my website? Because, you know, there's so much written about, you know, for every second that your site takes to load, certainly the customer experience side, maybe not some of the things that are happening in the background, but from a customer's perception of load time, you know, every second has a significant impact on conversion rate because people just don't want to wait. That's one thing that your tool does, is really help opening up the dialogue and the conversation, saying, okay, have you thought about why your homepage is so heavy. Why is there such a large, massive image that's not optimized? Or why is there a slider there? Like, why don't you have just one hero image with one call to action with one image instead of having, and when you have so many things loading, it really does kind of bloat the website, not to mention apps and lots of other remnant code and different developers. It can be unwieldy to some people. You are certainly helping people solve a little bit of these problems.
Actually, the reason that we built it is because there just wasn't, the existing tools just aren't good for e-commerce sites typically in general, but specifically for a platform site like Shopify, where you're using different third-party apps and stuff. They're all general tools, you know, but so you can get some good recommendations, but a lot of the recommendations don't apply for Shopify sites. And also the score, it's based largely on your apps that you use. So anytime you add third-party apps, your score is going to go down. What we found is a lot of people were just fixating on the score, you know, because you're used to going to school and like, oh, if you don't get an A, you're not doing well and you got to improve. And if you get a 20, you're failing, you know, you're doing terrible. But with those type of tools, if you have an engaging, successful Shopify site, you're always going to be scoring low. In most cases with those general tools, because it's just not a good benchmark for specifically Shopify sites. So we built it, the scoring system is based on over 1,000 sites that we've optimized. We set reasonable targets. And then also we show like, you don't need to waste your time on things that aren't going to make a difference or can't be optimized on Shopify. So we just minimize it to really simplify to show, okay, here are the main things, optimize these, and then boom, you're done with there. Now your next task, you know, switch over to conversion or marketing or something.
Beautiful. So let's dig into some of these optimization strategies for our listeners today, because from what I know of you, what I read on the website, I get to interact with a lot of your solutions, and we've spoken offline quite a bit leading up to today's recording, but you've broken it down from what I understand to, I guess, three kind of key areas of optimization. One is this performance optimization. Another one is conversion rate optimization. And then the final one would be like business optimization. So let's kind of unpack those three. I know it's probably quite a bit of content, but I think it's important that if these are the three big pillars of optimization that are important, let's talk about performance first. And like, what are you recommending today to optimize a Shopify site? And then what sort of expectations should somebody have based on what your tool is showing and maybe just other just intel that you have overall about what success actually looks like from a performance perspective?
Yeah, just to summarize the three optimization areas there and why they're important to me is, you know, owning Speed Booster and also having a Shopify store myself. Even though I'm not involved in the daily operations anymore of the store, I still help with strategy and a number of things. I'm always fixated on conversion rate optimization and also just optimizing a business in general. You know, owning two businesses is, it's a ton of work and you're spread really thin in mind space. I'm always trying to optimize and automate stuff like that. So with Speed Booster, just that personality of me kind of goes through into the things that we try to do. Because, you know, I've been a hustling Shopify store startup before that grew into a brand. And, you know, I've been stripped for time. So I'm always looking to optimize everywhere. But for performance optimization, for most sites, I mean, it's just something you have to pay attention to. I'd say like once a year is a good, like a thorough work through. Unless you're doing a lot of edits and uninstalling and installing a lot of different apps. We make it easy with the Shopify Analyzer, just checking on that. You can literally just go there and see what needs to be optimized or, you know, just hit us up. But the key things, you know, we have like a full Shopify optimization guide that we give step-by-step guidance and links to all the different things. But like, you know, there's a couple of like points, like, you know, lazy loading, image optimization, and setting up like preloading. I think those are three most significant impacts that Analyzer would tell you on lazy loading and image optimization, where you're doing that. And then preloading, you know, that's one that I like to tell people because not everybody's aware of it, but there's techniques. And we have a blog post, so you could type in like preloading Shopify. You know, maybe it'll come up on Google. I don't know how we're ranking, but you could search it in our blog too. But this is just a tactic. Not everybody's aware of it, so it's worth mentioning. So if you add different code to prefetch resources within your page navigation, so that the very first time a person comes there, it might not make a difference, but when they're navigating in between your pages, you're fetching the resources ahead of time, so things load faster. The way Shopify, being like a kind of a templated platform setup, that technique works. And you know, with general optimization stuff, you know, if you're already on a fast Wi-Fi connection, you might not notice a significant difference with a lot of optimization techniques, but with preloading, you will notice that difference. But even though you might not notice a big change, you know, by doing lazy loading or optimizing your images, the technical speed changes are going to be there. So with Google ranking SEO performance as a factor, you know, like having your technical performance dialed in your site faster, as that, I think that helps you out. And then if people happen to be on a mobile connection or a slower connection, it can make a night and day difference for those users. And, you know, me traveling around a lot, I've been in some slow connections here and there, and it's definitely a big deal. A lot of sites still load pretty slow, and you're just creating a better environment. So that's kind of the overview.
And now what about Google AMP or progressive web apps? Because I think they come up in topics because people think that maybe that is the solution to my speed problems. Maybe they run through your analyzer, they dig into, as you said, like preloading, lazy loading, some minimizing a few things, but you know what? It is what it is. And so it's not going to change. Now they think, okay, well, since Google is pushing this accelerated mobile pages, I think the formal term is just AMP. They're not really calling it a mobile page anymore. But and then there's progressive web app, which is almost like an app that, you know, gets real estate on your phone, but it's not really a dedicated mobile app. So maybe you can explain the differences between maybe AMP pages, which are different than, I believe, than responsive, and then how PWA fits into the equation overall when it comes to a performance side of it. Because I think these three things are always on people's mind. Well, I could add to a fourth, I could add headless, going with Gatsby, or going with Contentful as a front end, and then using the storefront API on Shopify, running the back office just to check out only, which is not recommended for most people because the technical overhead and the cost of running a situation is not right. But so let's talk about AMP versus PWA versus responsive.
Yeah, AMP, starting with that one, that's the one that I'm most familiar of these three. That one, it is a solution for some people love it. Some people don't, it doesn't work for them. So the thing, so with Google AMP, you follow a certain set of guidelines that Google sets for your code on your pages to be AMP compatible. What you have to do is you'll end up stripping down a lot of your functionality to meet the guidelines. So if you have a simple flow to your site and not too many third-party apps or custom features, then AMP, it might be good because you can try to mirror the image of your site on desktop. So what AMP does, just starting there, is if you get AMP compatible and you submit your rules to Google, which there's apps on Shopify that take care of all this for you, to where you can just customize it. But by doing that, then Google caches your pages, your AMP pages, on their servers. And then if someone goes to Google search, types in and finds your site, your listing is going to pop up as they used to do a lightning bolt. I don't know if they still do that. It was an experiment. But anyways, you take a search, and any user that clicks through and comes through Google search, then it pretty much loads just instantly because everything's already preloaded and ready to serve up. That's the opposite of, you know, just a non-AMP page, whereas like you go to a page and then it pulls all the resources that it needs. So that's why AMP, you know, it's both good and bad. It's good because of you can load these pages instantly. The challenge is that you can't use all these third-party resources and stuff. So you kind of limit it in the functionality of your site. So what I like to do for AMP is enable it for blog posts, assuming that your goal for blog posts is to drive inbound traffic. Google's kind of hinted that, you know, from what I've read through their AMP project, they've kind of hinted that and shown case studies that using AMP pages, it helps SEO rankings because of that major performance boost. So I like that for blog posts because, you know, you're typically just trying to rank your content and get someone to come to your site and get them a little engaged and then, you know, click off to a product page or a collection or something. So, and then for product pages, you know, again, it depends on the brand, but like in my experience, you know, the sites that I invested in, like there's too much customization for AMP to work. So, you know, I've actually seen a drop in conversion rate for my store by using it on product pages, but that's because really focus on good brand experience and have these extra apps and stuff. The AMP is on a case by case basis in that sense. It's easy to try out. We have a Shopify AMP guide. I got guides for everything pretty much. Anytime I come across, oh, this would be a good guide, I'll do a write-up. And it's like detailed step-by-step guide. So yeah, depends. Worth a try, but it's going to be a challenge at this point in time if you have a lot of customizations.
Well, that's what I was going to say is that I find that, you know, from a customer experience perspective, if you are going to turn on an app or an AMP app, let's say in Shopify, and you're right, the look and feel is completely different. Typically, you know, you're following some guidelines that are meant by Google, but if you have a certain kind of customer experience, you just want it to kind of work where it's not going to work. So if you're kind of exchanging some speed for functionality, it's not necessarily the best thing from a conversion perspective. I might add to a couple things that come to mind quite a bit. I think, you know, most of the themes that are available on Shopify are responsive, so they're going to have some elements that get removed and can fit the size of the screen, and that's typically pretty standard. Creating the hamburger icon instead of menu items, and just modifying a few things that's part of the responsive side of it based on the screen resolution. But the other thing that comes up quite a bit too is PWA. So this progressive web app, there's a couple companies that are pushing hard on this. Shop Sheriff is one that seemed to do a great job. And that's kind of instead of the investments of getting a mobile app, like either through Plobal or through Tapcart, I'm having a dedicated Google Play and iTunes, like in the Apple Store, and having a dedicated mobile app that's downloadable. I mean, there certainly are benefits in having a dedicated mobile app because then you have the speed part of it because all of it is built into a dedicated app that's synced in real time. And so it's one of those things you have to kind of think about. Depends on your maturity, I believe, and kind of where you're at in your life cycle of your company. But I think you're right. Let's analyze what you currently have and let's think about potentially getting into AMP, but not if you have a complex setup and user experience. Worst case, for sure, enabling a blog post, I think, is spot on because it's typically a hero shot and a bunch of text and maybe a lead capture, and that's about it.
Yeah, and you know, same thing with both Google AMP and PWA. And just a common theme, I think, of running a business is just always be testing. So it's worth, I think, trying these out for a month or, you know, just invest in a little time to check them out and give her a go and then decide whether it's right for you or not. PWA is one that I haven't really got into myself. You know, I tried out, I dabbled in it maybe a year or two and just decided it wasn't a solution that I really wanted to invest in. So I never went through with it. I'm not an expert on PWAs, especially, you know, things might have changed in a year or two. But yeah, you mentioned Steven from Shop Sheriff. We talk with him a lot, Speed Booster too. So that's the Google AMP app that I like and I wrote the guide on. And he's got a PWA app too. So like they're the best source of knowledge for when, where and when to use the PWAs.
I'll make sure I have all those details in the show notes for those listening today so you can get more details on all of this. Let's jump into the next optimization area is the conversion rate optimization. You hear this quite a bit saying, hey, you know what? I don't want to send or I can't send or I can't afford to send any more traffic to my website. I just want to convert more of my existing traffic. And so I would just would love to hear how or things that you've learned with your own brand and the companies that you work with, what sort of things should conversion optimization entail?
Yeah, conversion rate optimization, a key tactic because as e-commerce has gotten insanely competitive, I've been in it since 2015. I got friends that have been in since earlier than that, and they said it was pretty much a breeze to get a store, get ranked, do a bunch of sales like back in the day. It's getting harder and harder, and now everybody's competing for traffic and paid ads always going up every single year. So figuring out how to improve your own conversions, you know, that's a big win for bottom line and lowering expenses. Yeah, I have a bunch of tactics, and this is something that I focused a lot of strategy on myself in the past and currently. I still do A/B tests, but A/B testing is the number one thing that I do and I recommend, you know, just as an example. One time, I don't know, this is probably a couple years ago, but it always stands out because it's kind of like one of my more successful experiments. So I ran an A/B test on a product's price to compare it at $23 versus $28. So kind of dabbled in that lower $20 range just to price competitively and then switched it to $28. And then just after a month, the data showed that the sales of the higher price version, which was $28, were 20% higher. So not only did that same price work, but it also converted at 20% higher. So then that change became permanent. And then, you know, we checked the data later and those numbers stuck. So that one single experiment that we tried for a month led to an estimated $1,200 a month in profit just because of that new higher price, $5 extra, and then it also converts better. Some experiments don't do anything. Sometimes you're wrong. Sometimes there's not a difference at all. But sometimes you hit these home runs, and it's a big level up for your business. So if you get enough of these, then you're on your way to at least getting above that 2% kind of target e-commerce conversion rate, and then growing up to, you know, higher numbers. Yeah, I like that. A/B testing everything, but just for sort of some basic standard stuff that, I mean, any Shopify store that's already kind of going has like some of the basics. I think like, you know, reviews, that's like a number one. Every store needs to have reviews. You know, you could get a lot of inspiration from just shopping around Amazon. They're kind of just known as like the conversion rate optimization experts, you know, of the world. I mean, they do have obviously a big advantage at this point with their brand trust, and, you know, people just know Amazon. They buy from them often. They publicly invest a lot in like conversion rate optimization. So if you see a tactic they're doing, you know, give it a go on your site. You know, cross sells, free shipping thresholds, you know, all that stuff helps. And one that I think that, you know, that might not stand out is just focusing on email capture. So hiring a professional email marketer to set up an automated email software like Klaviyo to where you're capturing visitors on exit intent, the more emails you get, and then, you know, working out some automated flows so you can give them offers, you know, based on products they've bought or lists they've subscribed to and stuff like that. That's free traffic for the most part, other than your software, you know, your small investment costs. But those, you know, it's another area that, you know, my team tried to just do ourselves for way too long, a couple of years. And then we said, you know, let's hire a professional and just see what happens. And email action just skyrocketed. And then also increased conversion rates quite a bit, because you're bringing you're retargeting your email users and bringing them to your site, which they convert a lot higher. So it increases your overall conversion rate.
And you have an app out there, I think it's called Theme Scientist, I believe. And so what's interesting, I believe, about that one, maybe you can share some details about this, because I think it's interesting where I think my memory serves me correct, it's almost like it duplicates your live theme, and then your tool somehow can change whatever the A and the B you're trying to test. It could be price, color, button, whatever. Maybe you can explain it better in your own words.
See, we have four apps. Two of the apps are directly because I wanted a solution for my Shopify store, but one didn't exist. So I manufactured the solution. So that's kind of one of the unique positions of being a developer and a store owner. I understand what the store owner is looking for, and I pretty much just build like the Theme Scientist. I couldn't find a good A/B testing app, and I tried a few different ones, you know, but there's on Shopify and off Shopify, and I just couldn't find anything to do exactly what I wanted. So I built that. It was a long project. I was a lead developer on it, but we got that done. And so what it does is, on a basic level, if you're just picking two different themes. So you got your theme A, and then, you know, you duplicate your theme, make whatever changes. Now that's theme B. And then you fire up a test with Theme Scientist. And what it's going to do is it's going to track all the stats each day. So sessions, page views, add to cart, orders, conversion rate, stuff like that. And then every day at midnight of the store's local time, it's going to swap to the other theme. And it's just going to keep tracking those stats. So each day it's tracking each theme stats. And then, you know, I recommend doing a test for 2 to 6 weeks. If you do it for 2 weeks, then each day of the week saw one theme version. So you can get a clean test. And then it's the same with products. You know, you can make the changes you want to the product. And then every day at midnight, it's going to edit the product to show those different attributes to the new user. And that's called, I don't know if there's an exact term, but I call it the daily swap method. So to where you're getting stats every day. I found that's a good way to work with Shopify sites. Another popular A/B testing methodology is splitting traffic. So each time a user comes to your site, they see a different version of your theme or your product. That can work good if you have full control over your server code. But with Shopify, it's not feasible to create like different product pages or different a bunch of different URLs and then serve them up directly from the back end, because you just can't. So you have to use JavaScript to change the front end. So essentially you're always loading your one theme, but the changes you want when the user hits the page, if they're intended to be user A or B, then you're going to fire some JavaScript code to make the changes on your page. So what I've seen with that is sometimes you can actually see the change, like, you know, you might be able to see the add to cart color loads at green, but then a split second later it changes to blue because that code has to execute. So that's why I built Team Scientist, because I think the daily swap is a better method. And then it also, for the modern user, they might come to your page, you know, at 2 o'clock on their phone, they're just browsing, oh, that's pretty cool. And then, you know, later on they're on your computer going back to your site. They're on a different device. And so you're not going to be able to track if that's the same user. So that same user could potentially see different versions within the same day. It could potentially be abrasive, especially if it's a price difference. Yeah, just switch it every day. And pretty much I just always have some tests going. And, you know, we've had same kind of results. Some people have, like, they run a couple tests. Okay, yeah, I didn't really have any luck there. But yeah, some people had a nice test on their first one. And some of our users have reported back that, you know, it's really helped them out to figure out what their customers actually like.
No, I think experimentation is key to success. I think it's that, you know, it's that a 1% difference or less, it still is a difference. And there's obviously a better way of doing things. And I think that's one nice thing about Theme Scientist doing it that way. Instead of a round robin with traffic, it's a daily kind of swap out.
Sometimes you're like, oh, there's no way this is going to do better. But then it does. You're like, all right.
Trust me, I'll share that for sure in the show notes again, and I'm going to be testing with the brands that I manage, and let's get some results out of that. Maybe we can share something on another episode. So let's dig into the third and final kind of optimization area, and this one would be business optimization. So far we've chatted about the performance side of the actual website itself, and then we've talked about CRO, this conversion rate side of it, and what sort of things you can do for testing and improving conversion rate, all the strategies and tactics around that. And then the final one, like I said, is this business optimization. So can you, I guess, dig into some details on how people can optimize their business?
Every business owner I've talked to almost, I think, says they wish they would have hired sooner or, you know, just created more documentation stuff. And I kind of went through that with both of mine. So my Shopify store, just a lot of manual work and really not hiring or doing much automation thought at the start. And then just taking, just putting a lot of time and taking a long time to grow. And then starting Speed Booster, kind of learning from my mistakes. I pretty much systematized everything from the start. So standard operating procedures on all of your repeatable tasks. So then it just makes it easy to hire someone and, you know, hiring a VA, I think a virtual assistant, I think that's something that every single Shopify store should have. There's just a lot of kind of smaller tasks that just having kind of a general assistant can help you out with. You can find virtual assistants happy to help on your Shopify store for you know, $5 to $10 a month and get quality work, you know? Yeah. So that's a big one. And just thinking about processes and recognizing patterns and things that can be either outsourced or automated. I think just spending time doing that is good. You know, a big one that I'm a proponent of is just turning off notifications, email notifications. That was a big one, you know, disconnecting from email for me. I mean, you get a ton of emails a day if you're doing business. So rather than be distracted, you know, I like to just log in, you know, 2-3 times a day and then kind of knock out your communications there. And then disconnecting. I mean, this is kind of just helps in personal life too, but, you know, just deleting all like social media apps from my phone and turn off all my notifications except just like, you know, WhatsApp or messages. That's helped a ton just to kind of stay present. And, you know, especially, you know, I still do a lot of programming. So there's a stat out there. I don't know exactly, but I think if you get distracted, it takes you like 15 minutes to get back into your zone or wherever you're at, maybe longer. You know, whatever it is, you essentially just lose that time right there. So, you know, a project that's meant to take you an hour might be dragged on to 3 or 4 hours because you're checking notifications or answering phone or, you know, emails or stuff like that. So I really try to go super focused on a project, whether the task. So if you're like, okay, my task right now is creating this feature or trying this marketing tactic or doing some optimization on a site, then it's like, you know, just boom, focus right in and nail it out.
Yeah, I've noticed too a lot of, I think there's a lot of productivity loss, exactly what you're saying about through task switching. And you're suggesting that, you know, maybe we remove a lot of these distractions and then we have time block out your work. I do that a lot. I literally wake up in the morning and I look at my calendar I'm not going into email first. I'm not looking at social first. I'm actually going to my calendar first and saying, okay, what's the gnarliest thing that I have to get done first? Because I know that things start wailing by the end of the day and waning a bit. It's just like, okay, I got to deal. Almost like, I think Brian Tracy had a book, Eat the Frog or something. It's just do the most difficult thing right away and then block off your day and just be intentional with your time. It's okay to say no. And it's okay to have a couple, two or three things that are very important that need to get done today and focus on those and forget the to-do list. Like just follow your calendar. You can have long-term strategy things you're working on, fair enough, but you need to really focus on what's at hand for today and be very intentional on how you, because there's only so much time. You know, if you're quote unquote eight hours at work, maybe longer if you're, you know, self-employed business owner, but still, you still want to have a life for the next day too, right?
Yeah, I like that tactic that you use too. And I think that's a really key point to emphasize that, you know, just picking a task, like for me, it's okay, what's the most important task that I want to do this day? And then if you have that, then each day you're accomplishing, you know, an important task first thing in the morning. That just adds up big time over the long run. There's a million things you could be doing with your business. And if you just kind of start shooting, okay, let's do this and get distracted, then who knows where you're going. But if you map out and get really detailed and say, okay, each day I'm going to do this. And you can look at like a month ahead and a calendar and be like, okay, by the end of the month, my business will be leveled up because of all of these different areas that I've worked on. And then just dive in.
Yeah. Shiny object syndrome.
Shiny object syndrome. And then infinite task list. syndrome.
So what's the future look like for Speed Booster? Are you able to share any North Star highlights, I guess, for the remainder of 2020? Probably not a lot happening with code freezes and things going on right now in Q4 right now, but into 21, I'm just curious, any partner alignment or innovation, just end of the day. I know you kind of have a lot of different things going with the optimization side and the app side and kind of a lot of professional services, but just was curious on how you think you're going to continue to offer value and assistance to Shopify brands.
Yeah, so you know, we're always trying to figure out better ways to optimize sites and work on that the performance side, because that's kind of our original core set. You know, every time we figure out a new tactic, we just integrate it with our systems, and we have a team and we have a Slack channel internally that we're always kind of bouncing questions and ideas back and forth. So we gradually try to improve there. We're always working on new apps, but we're going to be getting more of a kind of bringing the Shopify analyzer into a native Shopify app and including some other health monitor and checks like that. So just to make an easy way for people to passively make sure their store is optimized well and maybe just get a notification instead of having to go analyze your site here and there. Those are a couple of our technical moves that we'll be working on. And then, you know, we contribute pretty often to the Shopify forums and then on our blog. You know, our philosophy is, again, we have a lot of detailed guides, how-tos on our blog. We try to be detailed and give step-by-step guide. And a lot of the work that we do, that's available on our blog for free. If a team wants to do it, or if a store owner, you know, if they have a developer and want to do the stuff themselves, you don't really need to hire us. But it's our specialty, so we can tend to get things dialed in pretty tight, and then it's just, you know, a matter of saving time for the store owner. So we're going to continue writing more blogs and stuff, and you know, we always take requests and for any topics that people want to cover or if any apps or features that people want. They can come to us. You know, we're trying to help, you know, optimize and automate Shopify stores so people can level up and focus more on their larger strategy.
Beautiful. I actually created a 2020 a BFCM holiday readiness guide that I had with the brands that I manage. And it's kind of a beast of a doc. I don't know. It's like 20 some pages long. And it was everything about holiday seasonal strategies, about, you know, links and resources and, you know, just tactics in general. And like, there was just a whole bunch of different things in here. And I definitely linked out to a few of your blog posts and stuff about speed and a few other things, just to give people the DIY approach to sing, just make sure they're talking the right language and they can work on certain things to have a successful BFCM time. So thanks for continuing to build that content out. So we are nearing the end of the show for today, but do you have any closing comments or any takeaways that you would like to leave with our listeners?
Yeah, being holiday season, I do have one thing that I think a lot of stores might overlook are corporate gifts as like a holiday sales strategy. One time we didn't order 10,000 units for just one customer. because it was a big corporation. They wanted to do gifts for all their employees and stuff like that. That's a big sale, just a one shot, 10,000 units. I mean, they're not always going to be that big, but I think it's worth investing a little energy trying to find how you can try to get in touch with agencies or brands that to get a corporate gift during the holidays. I think that's a big sales opportunity that a lot of people aren't aware of. That's a holiday one. You know, my philosophy is always be optimizing and always be automating to free yourself up. And then for Shopify stores, e-commerce stores, try to be different. I just go see a lot of stores, interact with a lot of store owners, and people come through us for help. I think one of the big things that makes the successful stores stand out is they really focus on branding and building an emotional connection with their business and just being different and not just being like a general store. So that's good. Be different.
So how can people learn more about Speed Booster, I guess your apps and Speed Booster website?
Speedbooster.com. There's no E at the end. So speedbooster.com. That's our site to check us out. Our blog is just, you can click on blog link from the site and you have a search bar there. If you're searching for everything, you find it there. You know, a lot of stuff regarding, it's all about performance, case studies, optimization, and then also conversion rate optimization and automation. So it's automation and optimization focused. But yeah, we also have, our curated list of best Shopify apps, which is speedbooster.com/best-shopify-apps. It's also linked in the store. That is a highly coveted list that people cold email us all the time to try to get paid placement, but we don't do that. So all these apps are apps that most of them I use currently and have been a subscriber for years. Some paid, some free. Yeah, I think that's a good place to just check out some apps and give you some ideas, stuff like that. Our apps in the Shopify App Store.
Yeah, I'll just go to the Shopify App Store. It's pretty easy. I think you type Speed-Booster.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, so Shopify App Store, type in Speed Booster. We got our apps and we really focus on just quality and we listen to our users. So most of our features have been user requested. So we take requests and we build them for people. So yeah, they're all free trial. So free feel to check them out. And can't find an app for your particular situation, or if you want to automate a boring, repetitive task, give us a shout to build you a custom solution.
And we did speak offline, I think, before recording today, and I understand that you would like to share an offer for those listening today.
So anytime, you can hit us up, speedbooster.com/contact. Just hit contact at our website. If you want a free performance analysis, or if you just want some tips for your store, anything like that. For performance analysis, we analyze your site, give you recommendations and what you should do. And we give you a quote for us to do it. Or, you can just take that to your team or your developer and handle it yourself. But, we just help out with that free analysis. Yeah, like I said, I'm huge into experimenting and conversion rate optimization. A/B testing has been a game changer for my business and a lot of others I've seen. So, if you want to try out Theme Scientist, there's a 14-day free trial. But also for the e-commerce Fastlane people, for the tribe, we got a 20% off for life discount. So if you want to take advantage of that, just contact us, with your site and mention the Fastlane, and then we'll send you the special discount URL to get that set up. And with the A/B testing too, we give you free ideas and stuff like that as well. So just trying to help out where we can.
Awesome. Love it. Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it. I think those are two great offers. So it'll be at ecommercefastlane.com/speedbooster. It'll be in the show notes, but it'll link to this landing page. So it'll give you the details on how you can get that free performance analysis audit. And like Joe mentioned, execute it on yourself by your team and or use his team to help with the recommendations that come for free on that audit. Once again, we're highly recommended more, but wanting to A/B test. Don't just leave it as is and don't randomly change things without having a proper audit flow. And that's one thing that Theme Scientist is going to help you with launching a new theme, color and pricing and collections and product pages and all the different things. So take a look at Theme Scientist. It'll really help you out. And I guess more on a parting note, I just can tell based on our conversation today that you really are in tight alignment with really wanting to help Shopify brands, in a lot of ways, like improving efficiencies and helping with revenue growth, and then obviously lifetime customer loyalty. I mean, that's the goal of a brand, and I appreciate that. And just want to thank you for sharing your vision, your knowledge, and giving back today to the Shopify ecosystem.
Oh, yeah, all good. Thanks for having me. I always enjoy a good conversation.
All right, well, have yourself a great day.
Thanks, Steve. You too.
Today's episode is brought to you by Grin, the all-in-one influencer relationship management platform. Grow an authentic direct-to-consumer brand on Shopify with the number one influencer marketing software solution for creating genuine, direct relationships with influencers. You can learn more about their incredible solution and get started today at grin.co. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.